Okay, good morning, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning. I hope everyone had a meaningful fast and an easy fast. I think it's very, very appropriate that we are learning this morning. I prepared a special shiur, not in the Sefer, but I don't think it could be more appropriate to learn Motzei Tisha B'Av, Erev Shabbos, Nachamu. The whole concept of Nechama is derived from the Shabbos, as we will learn during the duration of this shiur. So I think it could not be more appropriate to have shiur this morning. Baruch Hashem to our hosts and sponsors. It should be a schus for all of you, for your family, for Besoros Tovos and Simchas, and may you and your family merit the ultimate geula and only Simcha. So Shabbos Nachamu is upon us. And we're going to understand what's the Nechama. I was listening to a shiur by Rabbi Zev Leff specifically in preparation for this shiur. Listen, took all my notes so I could share with you with added ha'aras. Rabbi Zev Leff brought up a very good question. He says, 2 days after Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash wasn't rebuilt. Let's say Shabbos is 5 days after Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash was still not rebuilt. So what's the Nechama? He said, that's question number one. We have to understand what the Nechama is. The Beis HaMikdash isn't standing. So why are we having Shabbos Nachamu right after Tisha B'Av? And second of all, Shabbos Nachamu, he said, is a time of tremendous simcha. So what's the simcha? What's the Nechama? And what's a simcha? So before I share his answers with you, I'm going to quote some other answers as well, some other insights and understanding how the Shabbos brings us Nechama. So the Haftorah is from Sefer Yeshayahu, which I'm going to put here so that you can see. Parak Mem. Okay, and this Haftorah begins what we call Shiva de Nechamta, which takes us unbelievably to the new year. But Ezra Hashem, we have 7 weeks of consolation. I was also thinking specifically through the lens of the Shabbos Kodesh class that it's very interesting that the Nechama occurs in a category of 7. We know that every week we have Shabbos, which is on the 7th day, and the Shabbos brings us Simcha, the Shabbos brings us Nechama. Clearly there's something about Shabbos that brings us Nechama, because otherwise we can't call it Shabbos Nachamu, because like Rabbi Zev Leff said, the Beis HaMikdash wasn't rebuilt the first Shabbos after Tisha B'Av. In fact, it's still not rebuilt. So where does the Nechama come from? What are we having Shabbos Nachamu? But I think it's very interesting that we move into a time period where the Haftorahs deviate from being connected to the Parsha, and rather they deal with Nechama as we move out from Tavshin Pei, or out of whatever year we're in, into the new year. But as Ezra Hashem, so interesting that it's Shiva Dinechamta, 7 weeks of consolation, because 7, of course, makes us think of Shabbos Kodesh. So there is something about this idea of 7, something this idea about Shabbos that brings us Nechama. So our Haftorah begins, the Parshas V'Eschonen, okay? Haftorah begins, Nachamu, Nachami, Nachamu, Ami, Yomer, Elokecha. You should be comforted, you should be comforted. Comfort, comfort, console, console my people, says Hashem, your God. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem and call upon her. Near Tzavona, her guilt is paid off, her sins are up. Okay? Ki lokhami al Hashem kiflayim b'chol chatoseha. Her iniquity has been appeased, she is taken from the hand of Hashem double for all her sins. So there's this idea of double. Talks about how Hashem is in charge of all of nature. Talks about how Hashem controls the whole world, all of nature, everything that happens to us. You could all look through it. I looked through it in English, really, very flowery poetic language. I went through it myself in preparing shiur for English. We're not going to look at the whole thing together. We don't have time. After we talk about the hills and nature and the valleys and the heavens, lift up your eyes and see who created all of these. Of course, Hashem created everything that we have. Hashem is the one who is no sin that of Koach. Hashem is the one who gives us Koach. This is the whole Perek. The Haftorah actually begins after verse 26. But the parak continues. We have this idea of no sin of Koach. Hashem gives us strength. Okay, so where is the Nechama? What is the source of the Nechama? Before we come to Rabbi Zev Leff, I'm going to quote a very short piece from Rav Soloveitchik, and then we will move on to something from Rav Shimshon Pinkas, the author of the Sefer that we learn from, but not in Shabbos Kodesh, in a different Sefer on the 3 weeks called Exile and Consolation. So Rav Soloveitchik says, what is the comfort? Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. Console or comfort my people. We find comfort, says Rav Soloveitchik, because the tragedy of Tisha B'Av could have been much worse. Now you could wonder, how could it have been much worse? We are thankful it was the Beis HaMikdash that was destroyed and not the Jewish people as a whole. The fact that the temple was destroyed, the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, but not us, is something to be thankful for. The Babylonians and the Romans on Tisha B'Av could have easily wiped out not just the building of stone and wood, but a living, breathing nation, were it not for the protection that the Ribbono Shel Olam afforded to us, and that So Vaychuk is quoting from Medrash Eicha Rabba 4. So part of the comfort comes from, in retrospect, seeing that the day of Churban was a Churban on Eitzim and Avanim, and not upon us. We are consoled, therefore, in the midst of our tragedy, from the knowledge that we were saved. Yes, being exiled from our land, wandering the four corners of the earth, countless pogroms and persecution is horrifying, but we survived, and we will always survive, and this mitigates our sadness. And according to Rav Soloveitchik, this is one idea from which we derive comfort. The fact that the day after Churban, Jews got up and they make a Shabbos Kodesh is an unbelievably powerful statement. I was just watching, one of my children and I watched an unbelievable documentary. I don't know if it's still aired. It was so kedai yesterday afternoon. It was an hour and 15 minutes put out by Project Witness. Whoa. It was fabulous. It was on child Holocaust survivors, how they survived, if their parents gave them up, if they were in hiding, one was in a covenant, where were they? They interviewed about 7 or 8 different Holocaust survivors. Each had about 15, 20 minutes to tell their story. It was fabulous. I recommend it to a few people who also watched it, must watch. Anyway, one of them said something so interesting. He went on, I think it was the one who went on to learn in Potovich, came to Herzl. I mean, they had no families. It was really incredible. One of them said, when civilizations are wiped out, so the civilizations are wiped out, that's the end. And if there's destruction, there's destruction. They go, there's a melting pot of assimilation. He says, with the Jews, after everything we have been through, all the persecution, all the killing, all the torture, all the anti-Semitism, the Jew wakes up the next morning and he says, I want to be a Jew. Because they were talking about the fact that when people hid their children, they went to take them back. And they didn't want to leave them with the Christians. And many of these children had been baptized. Many of these children went to church every day. Many of these children learned to hate Jews. They said they would see Jews on the street, they would spit, because that's what they were taught. They had no idea that they were Jewish. And yet the Jew wakes up the next morning and he says, I want to be a Jew. Part of the nechama is that we get up after Tisha B'Av and we say, you know, I want to make Shabbos. Because from Shabbos comes the nechama. I want to be Jewish. He says, the fact that the Holocaust survivors went on and they passed the Mesorah, which they were murdered for, onto the next generation, and that we're here, this is the biggest miracle. And it's a testament to the fact that the Jew wakes up the next morning, come on me, we're the day after Churban. In fact, it's Yud Av. And if not for the fact that it was Erev Shabbos and the Kavod Shabbos goes, we wouldn't have been able to start laundry yet. And the restrictions aren't even lifted yet. But the Beis HaMikdash is actually burning now. Yet we're getting ready for the Shabbos of Nechama. It was such a powerful statement. He said, another nation was so persecuted, you want to run away. You don't want to be part of this nation anymore. You say, I want to have nothing to do with this. But the Jew wakes up and he says, I want to be a Jew. I want to teach my children what it means to be a Jew. And that's part of the Nechama. I'm relating this, what I saw yesterday in the documentary tour of Soloveitchik says. It's not only that Hashem didn't destroy us, he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but not us. It's that we accept pride in our heritage. And we're the most despised people. And we say we're going to welcome Shabbos the day after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That's Nechama. Rav Shimshon Pinkas in the Sefer Mo'adei HaShanah, Exile and Consolation, the 3 weeks anti-Tisha B'Av, right at the very end of the Sefer, which is where I'm quoting from, a paragraph, a section called Perhaps There Is Hope. Okay. And he says, I'll begin here. When I was 16, he says, there was a time when I wasn't feeling well. My mother took me, Rav Shimshon Pinkas, that's all. My mother took me to the doctor. Before I entered the doctor's room, my mother went in first. As far as I understand, she said to the doctor, only out of concern for my welfare, the doctor should tell me I am learning too much Torah. I should have to take care of my health. It's too much Torah. I have to cut back on my errors. So I went into the doctor and he said to me, Rav Pinkas as a young boy, 16, it seems you are exerting yourself too much with your learning. You need to cut back on your studies. So Rav Pinkas writes or says, this was published after his death, I answered him, tell me, when you were in medical school, how much did you study? The doctor replied, oh, I learned 18 hours a day straight. I forced my eyes open so I could keep studying. So I said to him, okay, so what are you telling me to do? So he started to make fun of me. And he said, come now, what course of study are you in? Do you have to pass examinations? Do you get graded? I had to know the whole medical encyclopedia. What do you have to know? Shimshon Pinkas says some of what we read in Eicha is that the nations of the world mocked us. Chet, Chata, Yerushalayim, Alkein, Lenida, Haisa. We became an outcast. All who honored her, they saw our disgrace. Do we behave, says Rav Pinkas, as befits Torah scholars? Do we behave as befits B'nai Torah? Quote, when we are on vacation, they see us floating around idly, walking around town. They find everywhere they saw our disgrace. So Shimshon Pinkas now moves into the topic right at the end of the Sefer, on nechama and hope. The custom is, he says, that on Tisha B'Av, when high noon arrives at Chatzos Yom, we get up from sitting on the floor. For 3 weeks, we prepare for the day of Tisha B'Av, of mourning. And yet, when the base of Mikdash finally begins burning, which is Tisha B'Av in the afternoon, we get up from the floor. Doesn't make sense. We've been preparing for our day of Avelis for 3 weeks. The restrictions get more and more and more and more. And then they set the base of Mikdash on fire. And then we say, oh, let's get up from the chair. Now we could sweep the floor. Now you could go to the grocery. Now you could prepare food for after the fast. Now should be the time of most intense mourning. Because after this time, we have prepared ourselves for 3 weeks. After we've read all the kinos, we understand the significance of Chorban. We are aware of the state we are in. And that is the beginning of the cure. The start of the salvation. Listen again. Once we have prepared and prepared, and we have read all the kinos, and we have all the restrictions, and we understand the significance of the Chorban, we are aware of the state that we are in, that's the beginning of the cure, that's the start of the salvation. If we see the great fire, if we understand its significance, then we can get up from the floor. The situation will strengthen us, says Rav Pinkas. It will push us to take hold of Hashem, to pray, to cry, to plead. And then Hashem will save us and bring us out of darkness to light. And he brings a personal parallel. He said, this is not just true of general destruction. The avoda of Tisha B'Av, of this morning, is to find, not only realize the significance of the impact of Chorban in general, what it did to our people as a whole, but individually. We have to recognize our own personal situation. It's not an accident that Av leads to Elov. We have to cry over ourselves. We have to cry over our sorry state, personally, where we are in our avodas Hashem. And then Hashem will save us, and that's the Yeshua. The first stage in coming closer to Hashem is personal awareness, self-awareness. We have to cry and we plead, but we can't fall into sadness and despair. We cannot give up hope. The difference between sadness and bitterheartedness. When a sad Jew goes to sleep, when a Jew is sad, he goes to sleep. When a Jew is bitter-hearted, he opens up a Sefer Tehillim. It's our job to come back to the Ribono Shel Olam. It's our job to come back to him. And so we get up with the awareness of how low we have fallen. But from that lowest point, we will raise ourselves up. And this, we can say, is another reason for the Nechama. So the first reason we gave for the Nechama is what Rav Salvechik says, that Hashem did not destroy the people. He destroyed the Eitzim v'Avanim, but he didn't destroy us. That's one source of Nechama. And we said it occurs in a cycle of seven, Shiva Dinechamta. Seven reminds us of Shabbos, because Shabbos is the greatest source of comfort, which you're going to have to wait till the very end of Shir for us to relate this into why it's Shabbos of Nachamu. Second reason, according to Rav Shimshon Pinkas, that we're giving an insight according to Rav Shimshon Pinkas, is that we get up because the comfort comes from understanding how dire our situation is. And once we understand how dire the situation is, from there we can pick ourselves up. And that's Nechama. When a person can pick themselves up, when they have hope to be a better person, when we realize there's hope for Knesset Yisrael, for rectification, for repair, for rebuilding individually and nationally, you can get it from the floor. Right after Tisha B'Av, says Rav Shimshon Pinkas, okay, the author of the Sefer we are studying, we have Shabbos Nachamu. Why? Because consolation comes from recognizing the situation for what it is. If we see flames, if we realize Hashem only can put them out, if we know Hashem is with us, that's the greatest consolation. As Chazal say, whoever mourns over Yerushalayim will merit to see her joy. Kol Misabel al Yerushalayim Zocha V'Ruah B'Simchasa. And so it is with someone who mourns over the destroyed Yerushalayim of himself, who is pained over not using the abilities that Hashem gave him. In the end, he will see joy. In the end, he will see consolation. We believe Hashem is omnipotent. There is nothing he can't do. And we know that the consolation will come. And so Tisha B'Av is a day of crying, but it's a day of drawing closer to Hashem. And from there, Nechama comes. And from there, we get up. If all the gates of heaven are closed, if things are gloomy and dark, Hashem is right here with us. In our generation, he says, and what would he say today about our generation? About our times. In our generation, there's no way to get past the obstacles. There's no way not to stumble and fall unless we hold on to Hashem. Only with Hashem is everything possible. So the first source of Nechama is that Hashem kept Knesset Yisrael forever. You say, Am Yisrael Chai. It really reads Chai. It was such a powerful testimony in the documentary I watched that a Jew wakes up the next morning. Jews whose entire families were killed out. They had nothing. One person said 184 members of my extended family. I came back. I was the only one. One child who survived. Of 184. And the Jew says, I want to be Jewish. So what's the greatest source of nechama? That we're still here. That Hashem destroyed a building and not us. And we reflect upon that after the Korban. According to Pinchas, there's another reason we have nechama after Tisha B'Av, as the Beis Hamikdash is burning, the Shabbos right after, right? Because we recognize Hashem is always with us. No matter what, He is with us. And when we recognize our sorry state of galus, both nationally and individually, it will lead us, the realization of where we are is the impetus for change. It will lead us forward. We will want to improve. And when a Jew wants to improve, that's a source for nechama. Two beautiful reasons as to why we have this Indian of Nechama while the Beis Hamikdash is burning. Like Rabbi Zev Lev said, the Beis Hamikdash wasn't rebuilt, the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av. So what's the Nechama? And now we will go to the ideas that Rabbi Lev shared in the share. Just remember, somebody asked in the beginning, if everyone's muted, how do we ask questions or comments? So don't forget that there's a chat on Zoom and you're welcome to use it, and I will address your questions or comments to the best of my ability. So the Pasuk says in Eicha, now I'm going to Rabbi Zev Lev's idea, okay? The Pasuk says in Eicha, Chet chata'a Yerushalayim, al kein l'nida haisa. Yerushalayim sinned a sin, and therefore she has become banished. Nad is like a wonder. Kamech abdehi zilua. All those who honor her scoffed at her. Ki ra'u ervasa, they saw her nakedness. Also, she sighed and turned backwards. So you see a double lashon. Chet chata'a Yerushalayim. This is in Eicha, Perek Al Pasuches. Yerushalayim sinned a sin. So there's a lashon of a double sin. And that's why Rabbi Lav said we have a double lashon of Nechama. I'm going to stop screen sharing now. Chet chata'a Yerushalayim al kein l'nida haisa. And therefore we have Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. There were two sins. They just saw it in the Pasuk of Eicha. So there's a double lashon of Nechama. Why is there a double lashon of Nechama? And what was the double sin that we sinned? So the first aspect, Chet Chata Yerushalayim, the first chet is the actual sins that we did. At the time of the first temple, Gior Ayis, Ovodazar, Shvichos Damim, and Lashon Hara, the Gemara says. At the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, we didn't have Kavana Birkas HaTorah. And also, of course, Sinas Chiram, the actual sin. That's one aspect of chit. What's chata'a Yerushalayim? What's the second aspect of sin? The second aspect of the sin was that we abandoned Kaviyachol Ribono Shel Olam. We left Hashem. It's as if we don't want Him in our lives. We disassociated, or we attempted to disassociate with Torah and Hashem. And the throes of sin, says Rabbi Lev, it's not just that a person does the Aveira, but the sin indicates he's trying to disassociate from the Ribono Shel Olam. I don't want a connection. So Hashem said, we sin doubly. Chet chata Yerushalayim, the actual Aveira, and trying to disassociate from Torah. Therefore, he said, the punishment comes double. Mida keneged mida. There's a double punishment. The first punishment, like we read in the Klalos, is the punishment itself, for the sin itself. Whatever the sin was, so Hashem punishes us with an actual punishment. But there's also another aspect to the punishment, and that is mida keneged mida. If the second aspect of the sin is that we try to abandon the Ribono Shel Olam, so Rachman al son, what's the mida keneged mida? Hashem will abandon us. And he quoted these two psukim from Parshas Vayelech, the psukim of Hester Panim. When God hides His face, we started Panimeim. He said that is the second level of onesh and retribution for the second degree of our sin. Chait means we did the actual sin. So Hashem punishes us for the sin. Chata'a Yerushalayim means we abandon the Ribono Shel Olam Kaviyachol. So the Mida Kenega Mida is Hashem's going to abandon us, and that is what we call Hester Panim. Hashem hides His face. It's as if He's not associating with us. And He says, you even see that from the Pesukim, because the people will say in a time of Hester Panim, Halo al kein al ki ein elokai birkirbi. Mitzauni Haros Eilat, a time of Hester Panim, the people will say, wow, God is not in my midst that all these terrible things befall me. And therefore, I will hide my face on that day. So we have a double degree of sin, like we saw in Eicha 1:8, Chet Chata Yerushalayim, Alkein L'nida Haisa, Chet Chata. We did the actual sin, and sin demonstrates we're trying to leave, disassociate, abandon the Ribono Shel Olam. So therefore, the punishment comes double. That's a punishment. One, the onesh for the sin, like we read in the Kalos, like we read in Eicha. And two, a degree of hester panim, which means it's as if Hashem is saying, I'm abandoning you. You abandoned me, so I'm going to abandon you. Hashem says, so I will abandon you. And that is hester panim. So what's the double comfort? What's the double nechama? Everything is double. Everything is double. The chait was double. The punishment was double. And therefore, the comfort will be double. Like the pasuk says, I'm going to show it to you. In the Haftorah, look. I'm going to prove you, look. The pasuk says, look here. Okay, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, double lashon of comfort, says your God. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem and call upon her, because her iniquity has been appeased. She is taken from Hashem double for all her sins. So we see this idea of double associated with both Churban and Nechama. In Eicha we read, Chet Chata Yerushalayim. In Shabbos Nachamu we read, it will be a double comfort. And the Navi himself, Yeshayahu, says, Ki lacham yad Hashem kiflayim b'chol chatasah. We took from Hashem double for all our sins. So the double of the sin was, we did the actual sin, and we left Hashem. Therefore, the punishment comes in a set of double. Hashem punishes us, and he abandons us. Chas v'sham, because we abandon him. Like we saw in Yeshayahu. We took double for our sin. So what's a double comfort? So Rav Zev Lev says so beautifully, in the future, Hashem will bring upon us all brachos. That is the reward for the sin. But in the future, Hashem will help us understand that he has never abandoned us. We'll have a feeling of closeness. We'll feel Hashem loves us. We'll feel Hashem is right with us. And that's the double nechama. The first nechama will be no more punishment, no more onesh, no more kalos. The second level will be that the Ribono Shel Olam is right with us. We will never doubt God's presence. We will never say, Halo ki ein Elokai b'kibi mitzuni aros ha'ela. We'll never say, is it possible God is not in my midst, and that's why all these terrible things befell me. He will come back to us. He will give us a feeling of closeness. That's the second degree of nechama. Chet chata Yerushalayim, we did a sin. We tried to abandon Hashem. We took kifalayim for all our sins. Double, what does that mean? Double punishment. One hand, the punishment, two, Hashem kaviyachol, as if he left us. Hester panim, you don't want to be with me, so I don't want to be with you. So what's the nechama? The nechama will be that in the future, Hashem will pay us back with brachos, but also he'll give us a feeling that he is right with us. Imo anochi b'tzara, we will understand that in the future, he's always with us. He has never really abandoned us. A feeling of closeness between us and Hashem, not of distance. And that's the Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. One Nachamu for the brachos, and one Nachamu for the Gilui Shechina, the revelation of the divine presence in our life. We're never going to have to search for God. We're never going to have to say, is Hashem hidden? We're going to say, he's right here with us. And we will realize that in the midst of the Gauls, he never abandoned us, and that's Nechama. So why is Shabbos Nachamu, Rabbi Lev said, like a Yom Tov? It's like a Yom Tov. Imagine. So we prepare for a regular Shabbos, and we're working on enhancing our regular Shmir Shabbos. Shabbos Nachamu, says Rabbi Lev, is like a Yom Tov. It should be even more special. It's a double simcha. The Gemara says that there's no greater Yom Tov than the 15th of Av and then Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur, we understand. Yom Kippur is a time of Kapara. Yom Kippur is a time of Selach Likivarecha. Yom Kippur is a time of the second Luchos. Wonderful. What's Tu B'Av? Why is Tu B'Av a Yom Tov? So what happened on Tu B'Av? It marked the day that they buried the dead of Beitar. About 65 to 70 years after Churban Bayis Sheni, Beitar fell. Beitar was the last stronghold of the revolt against the Romans that was led by Bar Kokhba. Many, including Rabbi Akiva, thought Bar Kokhba was Mashiach. So the people still had a glimmer of hope. 65, 70 years after, until after the Churban, the people thought Bar Kokhba would come. He would reveal himself as the Messiah. Well, obviously kick out the Romans. The Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. Everything will be wonderful. But the Romans squashed the rebellion. And Beitar was slaughtered. So now there's no Mashiach. Bar Kokhba is not the Mashiach. Everybody was wrong. Bar Koziva, Bar Kokhba, the son of a star. That's what it means. a star will arise, will shoot forth. It's from Balak's, Bilam's prophecy in Parshas Balak. Darach kochav miyakov. They believe the Bar Kochva. Bar is the son, Ben Kochva, star. Star will shoot forth. He was Mashiach. So they had so much hope after the Churban. It wasn't all over. And then the Romans squashed the Beitar rebellion. Bar Kochva was finished. He clearly wasn't Mashiach. All the people were slaughtered. And not only were they all slaughtered, but they couldn't even bury the dead. They couldn't even bury them. The Romans wouldn't let them go in and bury them. The horses were up to their nostrils in blood. The people couldn't be buried. When they were able to bury the dead of Beitar, they made a Yom Tov. Not only that, they instituted the fourth bracha of benching, Hatov Amitiv. Shabbai Lef said, it's a Yom Tov that they bury the dead. When we bury a person, says Rabbi Lef, what do we have, a Yom Tov or a Velos? What do we have after we bury somebody? You have a Velos. You sit down on the floor, you're crying. He says, what's a Yom Tov? That they buried the dead of Beitar? That's a Yom Tov? Wonderful. How do we understand that that's a Simcha? And therefore, Tu B'Av is a Simcha. Furthermore, they made the bracha of Hatov Amitiv and Birkos HaMazon for burying the dead. So Rabbi Zev Lev said, why? The bodies we know of the Beitar dead, thousands of Jews, did not decompose. So that taught them something, says Rabbi Zev Lev. You know what it taught them? Hashem is always with us. We see, even in the midst of tragedy, some chesed of Hashem. That's nechama. We're in the middle of a very difficult time in our galus now. Galus is always difficult. If we get too comfortable, Hashem reminds us, Rechmal Atzan. But the burial of the dead of Beitar, who did not decompose, reminds us that there's a glimmer of Hashem is always with us, even in Galus. That's Nechama. That's a Yom Tov. And when we come to Shabbos Nachamu, and we were reminded that Hashem never totally abandons us. Who doesn't need Chizuk? There's so many individual nisyonos. Nationally, our nation is pining for redemption. So where does the nechama come from? The nechama comes from recognizing, I'm talking to myself also, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is always with us. And that's why Tu B'Av, he says, is a Yom Tov. It's a Yom Tov Tu B'Av because when they saw that the dead of Beitar did not decompose, and their bodies were still able to be brought to Kavura Yisraelis, they recognize that the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, we're here. I'm here. We're here together. Furthermore, he said, it gave them chizik for Tchias HaMisim. Because they realized that there will yet be life again. Also, he said, very interesting, Tu B'Av is the seventh day after Tisha B'Av. So here we come again to the idea of seven bringing Nechama. Shabbos Nachamu is on the seventh day of the week. Tu B'Av is the seventh day after Tisha B'Av. Shiva D'Nechamta, we have 7 weeks of consolation leading to the new year. So it's clear that there is an idea related to Shabbos from which we derive Nechama. Maybe, he said, the people felt, even though Bar Kochva wasn't successful, even though the Geula did not come, even though he was not the Mashiach, Darach Kochav Miyakov. No, he did not come. Their hopes were dashed. But they took Nechama from the fact that Hashem was always with them. And that's why they established the bracha of Hatov VeHameitiv in Benching. The first bracha, Hazana Sakal, Moshe made that bracha in the desert when the man fell down. The second bracha, Yoshua, Birkas Haaretz, when they came into the land. The third bracha, Bonei Barach Mevushalayim, Amen, when they built the Beis HaMikdash. And then he said they thought it was all over. That was the end of Benching. Finished. It's all over. Now the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. There was no Bonei Yerushalayim. Once they saw that the dead of Beitar did not decompose and Hashem gave them the schus of Kvor Yisraelis, they realized that in the end of days, we will all come back, Tchias HaMisim. Hashem has never abandoned us. There is hope for the future, even in the midst of the Tzara. And if you remember, that's exactly what Rav Shimshon Pinchas said as well. Rav Shimshon Pinchas said, if the gates of heaven are closed, if things are gloomy and dark, Hashem declares He is with us in our troubles. We don't even need those gates. Hashem is right here next to us. And that's the same thing that Rabbi Laf was trying to bring out from this idea, that even in Galus, Birkas HaTov VeHameitiv, even after the burial of the dead in Betar. Hashem is giving us hope for the future. And it actually relates to a question that Rivka, you asked this question a totally different shir, Rivka. It was a JCC shir on the Amida. It was a very good question. I told you I couldn't address it exactly at the time, but I remember I heard a shir on it. I sent it to you and you listened to me and you listened to the shir and you reminded me. Do you remember? You asked a very good question. We say in the Shemona Esrei, Ata Gibra Olam Hashem Mechayi Meisim Ata Rav Loshia. You are Almighty Hashem. You resurrect the dead. You are great for salvation. And now we have the bracha for either Morid Hatal or Mashav Ruach Morid Hagashem. Rivka, do you remember you asked me this question? Yeah. Mechalka Chayim Bechesed. You sustain life with kindness. Mechayi Meisim Berachamim Rabim. You will resurrect the dead with great mercy. So Mech Noflim. You support the fallen. Rofei Cholim. You hear the sick, heal the sick. This is not Bakasha. This is Hoda'a. You're not allowed to utter a prayer for a Rofei Cholim here. You're only allowed to praise God for what he does. Matir Asurim. You release the bound. Mechayim Emunah Solishen Afra. God keeps his Emunah in those who lie in the dust. Meaning there will be Tchias Amesim. Micha Balgros, there is no one like you, almighty warrior, no one can compare to you. You are the king who is Mamis, he puts to death, Umechaya, and he brings life. Umatzmiach Yeshua, this is the bracha of Tchias HaMesim. We call Hashem the Mechaya Mesim once, then twice. We say he's the Mekayim Munaso Lishinei Afar, even if we Chas V'Shalom move hope in Tchias HaMesim. Hashem believes in those who lay in the dust. He is the Melech who is Mamis Mechaim Etzmiach Yeshua. So this is the bracha of Tchias HaMesim. In the middle of the bracha of Tchias HaMesim, Rivka Fuchs asked me a very good question. Why do we have the bracha for Tal or Geshem? Does this belong here? Shouldn't it be in the bracha of Barech Aleinu, Sashan Azos, the same bracha, or the same Tal Matzah Levracha? So why do we have the bracha for Morid Tal and Mashuv Ruach and Morid Geshem in the middle of what? Tchias HaMesim. We're talking about two totally different things. Put it in the bracha for Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elkeinu Sashana Azos. That's coming into us with Tova. We're saying Geshem Al Pnei Ha'adama. Makes so much sense. I'm davening for Geshem in the middle of Tchias HaMesim. So I told Rivka, I didn't exactly remember the answer, but I knew I heard a shir on it. So I say you the shir, you listen to the shir, and you reminded me of the answer, and I'm now going to quote it in your name, in the name of Avshai Shachter. So Avshai Shachter gave a shir last year, and he asked this very question that Rivka asked. And he answered beautifully. And Rivka, you should know that I can't stop thinking about it this whole season because my daughter planted seeds from a bell pepper. She read a Mishpacha magazine that you can plant seeds of a bell pepper. You seed the pepper, you know what we usually throw in the garbage after you make a salad, those white seeds. Put them in a Ziploc baggie with a damp paper towel in a humid, moist place. We left them in the garage for a week. And then they should start to sprout and transfer that paper towel with the embedded seeds to soil. So we did that. She did that. Not we did that. She took the pepper. She seeded a pepper, what I always throw in the garbage. She put them onto a damp paper towel in a Ziploc bag. She sealed the bag. She left some air in it. We put it in the garage. She checked on it every day. It was so exciting. We started to sprout. She took this paper towel with a few Nebuch seeds. She put it in the soil. I should send you all a picture of what it looks like. And every time, it grows bigger and bigger every day. You can't imagine what the pepper plants look like. And every day when I go outside and I see those plants coming from its garbage, will look like death, no life, nothing. Seeds that you throw in the trash. You think they're all finished. I'm going to send you, Blinator, if you're interested, a picture of the pepper plants. It's incredible. I think of this Dvar Torah all the time. So now let's answer the question. Why do we say Morid Tal Mashuv Ruach Morid Geshem in the middle of Mechayim Meisim? It should be the same bracha. Okay, I'll send a picture of the plant. It's amazing. So Rabbi Shai Shechter said, because when the heavens water, when the Ribbono Shel Olam waters the plants, and they grow from nothing. It was dirt. It was buried in the ground. She buried a paper towel with the embedded pepper seeds under nothing. There was nothing. You can't see anything. What does it look like? Does it look like life or does it look like death? Well, obviously it looks like death. It's burial. There's nothing there. Why do we daven for Mashu, for Ruach, or Marid HaGesham? For Nusach Sfarad, Marid HaTal, and the Brach of Mechayim Isim. Because the rain that causes the plants to grow reminds us that a person, you think life is finished, there will be Tchias HaMesim in the end of days. Mechayim Mesim Barachamim Rabim. Rabbi Zev Lev said, so that was Rav Shai Shechter's word on the Amida. Could really change your davening. It's a very beautiful nakuda to keep in mind. It's very, very powerful. We, with our limited vision, see earth. We see death. We see desolation. And relate this to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. What do you see? And you go to Yerushalayim on Har HaBayis today. Is it possible from this there will ever be national life again? Is it possible there will ever be redemption? From where is the Nechama? What's the Shabbos of Nachamu? Shiva de Nechamta. Shabbos is the seventh day when we have Nechama. Tu B'Av is the seventh day after Tisha B'Av. Because Ribbono Shel Olam, with his far-reaching vision, the Hayahova V'Yihya, who sees from the beginning of time to the end of time, doesn't see the narrow frame that we see. He is Mekayim Emunaso Lishene Afar. For those who sleep in the dust, from pepper seeds to our people, to our Churban Beis HaMikdash, Ribbono Shel Olam is Mekayim Emunaso Lishene Afar. So the day that they buried the dead of Beitar, which should have been a day of mourning, said Rabbi Lef, they realized there was no hope. Bar Kochva was not the Mashiach. Rome had totally decimated them. It was the end of any Jewish sovereignty in the land. But it was a day of recognition, of belief, that in the future, because the dead of Beitar did not decompose, and it gave the people hope for the future. Furthermore, related to this idea, beautiful Vart on Oz Yashir, where's my Shemos? Every day, comment. Isn't it a beautiful thought? It really is a beautiful thought. Thank you. I'm happy, appreciate it, Baruch Hashem. And it could really change your davening. It really could. But it's funny because Rivka is the one who asked the question in a different class. And here it's coming back, see? Baruch Hashem. So in Az Yashir, I want to share one more thought related to this idea of the Nechama can come even from what looks so horrible. From Churban, the moment the Beis HaMikdash starts burning, we get up on our chairs. When they bury the dead of Beitar, it's a Yom Tov. Nechama from Shabbos, even though 2 days after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it wasn't rebuilt. But what unites all of these ideas? Hashem never abandons us. And isn't that what Shabbos is? Shabbos reminds us that Hashem comes to our house. Shalom Aleichem, Bo'i Kala. Kabbalat Shabbos, Kabbalah Shabbos. Hisna'ari me'afar kumi. Isn't that what we say in the Chadodi? Isn't that the idea of Mechayehu Misim? Hisna'ari me'afar kumi. Nationally, Yerushalayim, Tzion, our people will rise from the dust. Livshi bigdei sif'arteich ami. Isn't that how we greet Shabbos? Livshi bigdei tif'arteich ami. Put on the begadim, the clothing of the glory of your people. Uri, uri. Wake up, wake up. Shir daberi. Kivar Hashem alayich nikla. What's the nechama of Shabbos? The Beis HaMikdash The Beis HaMikdash was not rebuilt the Shabbos after the Churban. It just wasn't. According to Rav Salvechik, the nechama is one way of understanding it. According to Medrash, one way is the nechama comes from recognizing Hashem destroyed Eitzim v'Avanim, and not us. Baruch Hashem. You must, if you can get your hands on that documentary, it's so kedai. The whole hour and 50 minutes, you have to sit and watch the whole thing. Zachar Sashar Salach HaMalik. But something so impactful. What the survivor said. A Jew gets up and he says, I want to be a Jew. Unbelievable. After what they did to you, you want to be a Jew? I want to pass the Masorah down. That's Nechama. The day after Tisha B'Av, or a few days after, we celebrate Shabbos. What are we saying? Children, look how beautiful Shabbos is. Mommy, they just destroyed us. You want Shabbos? Yes, we're still here. That's Nechama. Rav Shimshon Pinkas says, what's the Nechama? Recognizing what a sorry state we are in will lead us to self-reflection, will lead to repentance, will lead to coming back to Hashem. That's also Nechama. Realizing what a horrible state we're in nationally, and sometimes a story state we are in individually, will lead us to Nechama. Will lead us to repentance. And that's Nechama, says Rosh Hashim Pinchas. Allowing ourselves to recognize that we need to repair, to repent, to return, to be better people, is a source of comfort. When we recognize our strengths, don't be sad and go to sleep, says Rav Pinchas. Feel bitter and say Tehillim. And that's Nechama. So the Pshat of the Rav, based on the Medrash, coupled with, I'm reviewing all the interpretations we gave of what Shabbos Nachamu is, with what I saw on Project Witness documentary yesterday, to Rav Shimshon Pinchas, it will come from recognizing that we are in a sorry state individually and nationally. That will give us hope to know that we can be better. When we fall so low, represented by the epitome, the apex, the climax of the Chorban, we can rise from there. That's Nechama. Three, Rabbi Lef. Nechama comes from recognizing the Ribono Shel Olam is always with us, even in Galus. Because remember, Rabbi Lef said, Chet Chata Yerushalayim. What were the two sins? Oh my gosh, I just saw the time. I still have to finish here. Chet Chata Yerushalayim. What were the two sins? One, two aspects of the sin. We did the actual sin. We spoke Lashon Har. Time of Bayis Rishon, Yuman IB, they spoke Lashon Har. The second aspect of sin, Chet Chata, is that through sin we're showing we want to abandon the Ribbono Shel Olam. So why does the Navi say in the Haftarah we took Kifalayim, double payment for our sins, because Hashem said, he punishes Mida Kenegah Mida. So the first aspect of punishment was the punishment for the sin. The second aspect of punishment was Hester Panim, said Rabbi Lef, and I took you to Devar and Perek Lamed Aleph to see the Pesukim. Hester Panim, Hashem said, you don't want to be with me, I don't want to be with you. I'm going to hide my face from you. And we say, Al Kain, Ki Ein Elokai Birkirbi, Mitzuni Harod Sa'edah. These bad things befall me because God's not in my midst. So we find an aspect of Hashem is not with us. In the punishment, because it's chay tchata kifalayim achal toseha. So what's double nechama? Why is it double nechama? It's not nachamu ami. Hashem could have said nachamu ami, amarek lechem. Nachamu, nachamu. The first nechama is, we'll be best with bracha. Gizent. Nachas mibanim. All the blessings that come. Because we took our punishment already. But the second aspect of nechama, says Rabbi Lef, is Hashem is always with us. And they learned that by Beitar, 7 days. It was the date of Beitar's Yom Tov, Tu B'Av, 7 days after Tisha B'Av. When they recognized that Hashem had not abandoned them. How did they know? What was the sign? They buried the dead. So it's a kasha. They buried the dead. You should sit down. You should tear your clothing. You made a Yom Tov because you buried the dead. It's a velus. No, it was a simcha. The fact that the bodies did not decompose proved Hashem never really abandons us. He's always with us. There's some degree of chesed in the Churban. Isn't that Nechama? So they made a Yom Tov. And they established the fourth bracha, Birkas HaMazon. They said it doesn't end with the destruction of Yerushalayim. Bunei brachim av Yerushalayim, amen. There's something else. Hashem is a tova amitiv. Hashem is always with us. We realize now that there will be Tchias HaMesim. And then we went to the bracha of the Shemona Esrei. We quote Rav Shai Shechter. Why do we daven for Geshem or Morid Atal in Bracha Mechayim Isa, Bracha Mirabim, Mechayim Munasol, Ishinei Afar? Put it in the same Bracha. Because come see my daughter's pepper seeds. They literally started as garbage. I put in the garbage. I make a salad. I throw out the seeds. She put on a paper towel, damp paper towel, closed it for a week in the garage, put this paper towel on the ground. You can't imagine what it looks like. And every day I think of the Bracha Mechayim Isa, Morid Atal, Mashiv Ruach. Because Hashem never abandons us. I wanted to quote a verse from Az Yashar that relates to this very idea. Okay, I'm going to try and do it quickly. I'm sorry. Should I say one more verse from Az Yashar or no? That's right. Rivka Fuchs has to go. Okay, so we're going to end. B'li Neder, I will try and say it a different time. 1 second. Let me just see if I did. Oh, so hence, last thought. Shabbos is the Nechama. Because Shabbos represents all these three ideas. Shabbos represents, like Rav Soloveitchik says, a Jew never gives up. Hashem never gives up on us. Hashem doesn't destroy us. He destroys the Eitzim v'Avanim. Shabbos represents Hashem didn't destroy us because a Jew still wants to be a Jew and celebrate Shabbos. Shabbos represents, like Rav Pinchas said, that during the week we may realize how low we have fallen, but when Shabbos comes, we have an aliyah in Kedusha, and we recognize how much we can grow and come back to Hashem. And three, according to Rabbi Lef, The Nechama is that Hashem never abandons us. Shabbos is when Hashem comes to our house. And when Hashem comes to our house, that's the truest Nechama that there is. Furthermore, Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos is the taste of the world to come. And in the world to come, with Bias Gal Tzedek, when there will be Tchias HaMesim, we will really recognize that Hashem is HaTov V'HaMetiv. And for all these reasons, the Shabbos, right after Tisha B'Av, is not a Shabbos of Avelus. It's a Shabbos of Nachamu. Nachamu Ami Yomer Elokechem Su Maram Einechem U'ru'u Mi Bara Ela. We should be zocha to the ultimate Yeshua immediately, and the ultimate everlasting Nechama B'mehir B'yamin.